Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo and Austin. We are back to our top 10 players by position for the 2023-2024 season. Tonight, we're doing shooting guards. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this, so before we get into it, just know we have our own rubric for how a player qualifies. So if there's a player you think should be in the top 10 shooting guards based on their ability, you're probably absolutely right, but they probably did not play enough games for us. You're not wrong. It's just that they didn't hit our metric. And also it's based on what Basketball Reference labels them as playing most, or at least 50% of the season at that position. So you might say that this player is a small forward and we're calling him a shooting guard and blah blah blah, whatever. Talk to Basketball Reference. It's not our problem.
As previous Ren has said.
Them's the rules. I just real, like, literally as we were waiting to start, I was clicking through shit, and I just read something pretty interesting. The past five Western Conference champions have a combined total of one playoff win in the season prior to them winning the West. Kind of just an irrelevant statistic, really, but, like, in 2019, the Lakers missed the playoffs. In 2020, they made the NBA Finals. They won. In 2020, the Suns did not make the playoffs. And then in 2021, they lost in the NBA Finals. Golden State Warriors in 2021 lost in the play-in, did not make the playoffs. And then they won the NBA Finals in 2022. In 2022, the Denver Nuggets lost in the first round 1-4. So they only won one game.
Without
in 2023, they won the NBA Finals.
With comrades.
In 2023, the Mavericks did not make the playoffs. And then in 2024, they lost in the NBA Finals. So statistically, you have a pretty good chance of making the NBA Finals if you're in the Western Conference and you missed the playoffs this year. What team do you think that would be? This year. And now that I'm saying that, I don't remember who.
Isn't it time for you to make your Spurs pick, Ren?
You know what, Spurs. Spurs. Wait, did the Kings make the playoffs? I think the Kings.
Yes, they were
playing. But did they win?
Did they win a game?
Pelicans, Lakers, Kings, Warriors. I don't remember.
Playoffs. Holy crap, it's showing the games for next season.
You know the actual answer.
It's the Lakers, isn't it?
It's the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
Grizzlies.
They didn't. The Kings did not actually play in the playoffs. They lost in the play-in. So they are, you know what, Kings. It fits the timeline. It fits the rubric. Not saying they're going to win the NBA Finals, but hey, they have a chance of making it out of the Western Conference just based on trends.
Ren's Kings love is actually like kind of concerning. Like, what? Like, do you just enjoy watching like car crashes or
enjoy thunderstorms?
Yeah, that's the life for you.
I do enjoy thunderstorms, but. It's just because they have a lot of players that I'd like, so I want to see them succeed. It doesn't really go much further than that. Like, I think the De'Aaron Fox DeMontis Sabonis pairing works really well. I think the Kings made a mistake by trading Tyrese instead of Fox, because I think Tyrese is a player you can build more around. But I do like De'Aaron Fox. And like I said, that's that 1-2 punch in the pick and roll is probably the best in the NBA. I think that's factual. I don't have those stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the Sabonis Fox pick and roll is probably the highest point generating pick and roll in the entire association. but yeah, I like the Kings. I like their players. They're a team I want to see succeed. Was it? I also saw an interesting story today. For some reason, there's a bunch of Kobe news coming out today, like Kobe stories and stuff. Apparently, in the Lakers locker room, he used to steal players' shoes if they had Kobe's, and he didn't think they were worthy of wearing them. Which is like, I mean, we know Kobe's petty, or was petty. Like, that, it fits. Also, ESPN analysts vote that Victor Wembanyama will win the Most Improved Player Award in 2024-2025. Like, based on the fact that we have ruined that award thanks to Ja Morant, I don't think that's absurd. I think if you told me you're a time traveler and you came back from a year in the future and Wemby just averaged, like, 30, 13, and, like, 5 or 6... I'd believe it. And he had maybe a quadruple double in there somewhere. 10 blocks, not that crazy. That's kind of crazy to think about, because the last player to have a quadruple double, I want to say it was David Robinson. Like, we've had a few players get close because, like, I think it was Draymond Green in 2017 had the triple double with steals, assists, and rebounds. And, like, he missed the quadruple-double because he couldn't score 6 more points.
Isn't that kind of sad? I'm not going to lie.
And then...
granted, it's the NBA. I get it. But at the same time, you're, at the time, considered one of the top players in the NBA. You just struggled to get to the...
Was 2017 Dre still considered one of the best players in the NBA? I think that was the start of the decline. Like, when we started to say, you know, he might be a little too slow offensively. Yeah. He was like, we still viewed him as a true defensive presence, but I think that the holes in his offensive game had kind of been exposed, and like, we're seeing that a lot more this year. I think it was something like possessions where he was handling the ball, he had the highest turnover percentage in the association, because they really don't have a role for Draymond anymore, except to be kind of a pseudo point forward. And he's really not that great at that anymore, because he's not quick enough to get open, or to create space for anyone else. He's got great vision and he's a good passer, but like, when you're slow as molasses, you're not creating space for anyone. And I think we started to already realize that back then. Besides that, there was another player that had a triple-double. There were two players. So TJ McConnell did it in 2020. I know that one for sure because he had points, assists, and steals. But I feel like there was another player in like 2017, 2018 that did points, assists, steals, or points, rebounds, steals, or something like that. And now I need to look it up, because it was some like weird outlier, like TJ McConnell. Like, that's not a player you'd expect to do something like that. Triple players with weird triple doubles. Well, that
unconventional.
Unconventional. Most or unusual
unconventional players.
Ooh, most unusual triple doubles. There is a thing. Alvin Robertson, Nate Thurman. I mean, there's the Dre. I swear someone else had one. It's not on here, but neither is the TJ McConnell one. There is another one around that same time as Draymond that it was like weird and you felt like they were close to getting it, I guess. But regardless, it would not surprise me if next season we were talking about Wemby hitting a quadruple-double and averaging around 30 and winning most improved player. Just because, again, he shouldn't win most improved player because he's the best prospect since LeBron James, and that includes Luka, who prior to this was the best European prospect of all time. And I don't think that player should necessarily win most improved player because it's like, okay, he's hitting expectations. That's not an improvement. That is his normalcy. That is what we expect him to do. But Ja Morant ruined the award. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for Wemby to win it. Because we all, providing he stays healthy, and he proved this season he can, it's not out of the realm of possibility for him to absolutely blow us away statistically. Like, is there a player you think could make more of a significant jump than Wemby? I guess is the question to ask. Because, again, if we're going on most improved, it's what player made the biggest jump, biggest meaningful jump. There's not, there's really not a lot of players I can think of. Especially now that we've gotten rid of the, veil around it, and now it's like, oh, you're a superstar player, but you did a little bit better. Here's most improved.
Yeah.
Did Jalen Brunson get it 1 year?
Yes, didn't he, when he was on the Mavs?
Yeah, I think he got it in that Mavs year.
Yeah, and then he went to the next.
His contract.
You know, an outlier... He's going to be on at least my list because we're about to get into our list, but Jalen Green. That's one that I could see potentially doing it because if you I have my notes here and I'm kind of spoiling it, but if you look at his end of the season run, if he were to maintain that, and he's not going to, but if he were to maintain even a fraction of that, he could win most improved. But I still think Wemby has the best shot. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would put money on Wemby. Austin, how do you feel? Because you are you are the resident Wemby hater. Do you think it's Wemby's award to lose?
I mean, I think it is, but again, you've already talked about the bullshit of the award itself. So, I mean, yay, it's a participation medal for Wemby at this point.
Oh my god.
So
now that would be crazy because there is a outlier's chance, and it is a very outlier's chance, but there is a possibility this Chris Paul pairing with Wemby is absolutely devastating. The Spurs go on some ridiculous run, and Wemby wins DPOY, MVP, and Most Improved Player. How crazy of a timeline would that be? Is that, if that happens, does that solidify Wemby as a Hall of Fame lock?
I think the guy who would be in shambles should answer that.
I refuse to think about a history that will never, or a future that will never happen. That's will the Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year? It'll never happen. There's no reason to think about it.
He's a Cowboys fan.
At least he's a realistic one. Most of my friends that are Cowboys fans have been saying this is our year for the entire time I've known them.
Yep.
It's never been their year.
They slash.
Steve Kerr, not going to be coaching USA Basketball 2028.
I think it's more demoralizing, quite honestly. I'm going to go off on a side tangent. I'm sorry.
Okay, go for
but
it.
Because, so you said the Cowboys fans are the ones that you...
Oh, we're going on that kind of tangent.
Yeah, I was going to say, which tangent are we going here?
So you said that they've said it's always going to be their year and it's never their year. During that stretch of the last like 3, 4, 5 years, they've won like 11 games every year and been, for the most part, a top. Well, sometimes the Eagles won the division, but
yeah,
had usually the top three record in the NFC. What do you think is more demoralizing? Getting into the playoffs and never sniffing it, or just always sucking?
No, it's always getting to the playoffs.
Yeah. That you're treading water. That's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to use a sport that I am familiar with. So, hockey, for example, for a long time, the Dallas Stars were really, really good.
Oh, of course. They weren't good enough.
Yeah. They had a ridiculously good goalie. They had, until recently, the best American-born forward of all time. They were really, really good, but they were never good enough to win. And when you're not good enough to win, but you're good enough to just kind of tread water, you get that first, second round exit. Maybe you make it all the way to the conference finals. Cool. Good for you. You don't get the draft capital you need to really build. And it's weird because when you're comparing the sports.
Ren, you're starting to sound like me. You might want to slow down, buddy.
Like when it no, because I'm about to change it on you, because this is something you and I vehemently disagree with, and it's market. So in hockey, most players are from northern markets, right? And they aren't necessarily the same warm weather fans. Like Dallas is not exactly a hotbed of hockey, right? So it's not necessarily a big free agent draw. So it's weird to me that a team that's as big as the Dallas Cowboys in an area that's kind of known for football have a hard time not necessarily attracting talent, but attracting the right talent.
It's ownership.
So here's the thing. Dallas doesn't sign people in free agency.
Yeah, it's ownership. It's not like people don't want to be there. It's they won't even offer them a chance to be there.
Do we know that for sure? Because they're also
yes, we know that.
Okay, because athletes are some of the most superstitious people ever, and even as someone that does not follow football, I know that there's kind of this mindset that the Dallas Cowboys are cursed.
You know who CD Lamb is, right?
Yes.
So Jerry Jones, CD Lamb said that he did not want to play or show up to training camp until he got a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones went on the air and said, "I'm not worried about that." Like, he doesn't care that our top receiver doesn't want to show up. Like, on national TV or national radio, said, "I don't care."
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, let's be real. Half the time, the owners are right. Like, what was the Jim Irsay thing with Jonathan Taylor? Like, how did that play out? Is Jonathan Taylor a cult?
It's not the point.
It is, because at the end of the day,
CeeDee Lamb wasn't coming off an injury. Jonathan Taylor was. CeeDee Lamb was the top three, maybe top two receiver in the NFL last year.
And like how much money?
The top what receiver, honestly?
Yeah.
Like how much are we talking? Like,
well, no. Yeah,
how far away? Yeah. Okay, but like, is Tyreek like? I'm pretty sure I could get some yardage if I was, you know, on a line that was catching for the best quarterback in the NFL.
Tyreek doesn't play with Mahomes anymore.
He doesn't? Okay, cool. Never mind. Scratch that.
That was like 3 years ago.
Who does he play with now?
Tua Tagovailoa in Miami.
Bless you. Regardless, like,
bad.
How much money are we, like, how far away is CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jones?
They haven't announced it.
Right, but, like, as far as we know, it's, like, pennies on the dollar. Like, it's generational wealth. Like, you're getting it either way. Is CeeDee Lamb not going to be in Dallas next year?
Potentially.
So, like, when does NFL is NFL free agency open?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay, yeah, so...
We're about to start the next season. But yes, it's open.
Like, my question then is CeeDee Lamb under contract for this season?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the last deal of his rookie deal. He's on the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
So, and he's refusing to show up for training camp until he has a new deal.
Yes. That's a common thing in the NFL.
That's dumb.
Yes, it is.
It's a very common thing in the NFL.
Very common.
And how often does that end with a player on another team?
More than you think.
Yeah.
Like, what percentage? Like, I'm sure it is more than I think because there's, like, 90 players on every NFL team.
I don't know what percentage, but I know... So, like, Tyreek Hill is not on the Kansas City Chiefs anymore because of that.
But ballpark. Give me, like, an estimate of, like, what you've observed. Like, I don't want an actual number. I know you don't have that. I'm just saying, like, based on what you've observed, what would you say the ballpark is?
Ending up on another team?
Yeah.
Before the rookie contract is up. Not leaving in free agency and signing. He means, like, being traded during training camp.
Yeah, like...
30%.
I was going to say 25.
Okay, so we'll say 30%. Roughly 30%.
I mean...
But...
The odds are in Jerry Jones's favor.
The odds get higher and higher the closer you get to the regular season. And we are 2 weeks away from that.
Are we really?
Damn. Yeah, we are.
This year flew by.
Alex is in Spain right now. That's the only reason we didn't record. And I said, yeah, we're going to be like going mad lad speeds in 2 weeks. So like, enjoy it now, Alex, because it's not going to be lasting much longer.
Yeah.
Took a vacation right before busy season started.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's, from an outsider's point of view, it is just weird to me that even with a mediocre ownership group, you can't get players to Dallas.
It's because they all know what Jerry Jones will do.
Fair. I'm not defending Jerry Jones. He seems like an interesting person for sure. He is a person. We can say that much about him. But it's like L.A. Like, we can't, like, we can, like, Jeannie Buss has not been a great owner for the Los Angeles Lakers. But players are still going to the Los Angeles Lakers because it's the Los Angeles Lakers. You feel me? So, like, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Los Angeles.
Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs are a joke in the NHL. Like, they've been better recently, but they for a long time, they were the Maple Leafs. But it's still the mecca of hockey, and they had no problem attracting people to Toronto. I don't know what a like relevant like MLB situation would be, but that's what I'm saying is it's like Texas is the mecca of football, right? Like high school football there, like they have bigger stadiums than like colleges. Yeah. So it is weird to me that like even with a poor ownership group, they're not able to draw more talent there to get them over that hump. And I don't really understand football, so like maybe it's just because that, but it is weird to me. This is not a No Reserves football episode, just in case you've been zoning out listening to us for the last 10 minutes.
Told you I was taking this off track.
Oh, no. The listeners that like tuned in and like they normally like zone out for the intro until we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, like they just tuned back in and are like, what day is it? Why is Ren here? All right, you guys want to get into the list or is there anything else you guys want to talk about since we've missed like 3 weeks of like actual content?
I got nothing.
So.
You weren't supposed to have anything, Angelo.
Okay, my bad. Okay, now we can get into the meat.
That was just like a courtesy question.
I mean, if you got something, you got something.
No.
All right, so who led us with the last one? Because we I know we were
the last one.
We have used every configuration. Every one of us have started. Every one of us has closed. Every one of us has been in the middle. So
we're cycling. We're cycling back to me opening.
You, me,
I think
me.
So. Okay.
All right. Yep. Hold on. Let me just pull a couple. I mean, I've got all my tabs open. I just need to pull them up. So my number 10 is Colin Sexton. What?
Nothing.
My number 10 is Colin Sexton. Average, we're going to round up, 19 points per game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 49-40 from the field
Brent
and from
sounding
3.
Sounding more and more like me every day. I love it.
Well, I mean, if you don't round those numbers up, like, you're wasting your time. 20 PER, 5.5 win share. So, decent split. So, Colin Sexton, like, I honestly almost put him higher. Just a hell of a rebound year for him, because in 2001-2002 season, he tore his meniscus playing for the Cavs, and he was on a pretty elite trajectory for a while there, because I think in the season before he tore his meniscus, he averaged like 25 points per game, and it seemed like the Garland-Sexton backcourt was going to be the future that we now see as the Mitchell-Garland backcourt. And then he tore his meniscus, averaged 16 points per game the next season, and then it was 14 points the next season. So it was like he never really recovered from that torn meniscus. This season was a huge bounce back year for him. Great efficiencies from the floor. He has a hell of a good contract. I think he's got 2 years, $40 million left. Danny Ainge is going to look to trade that contract to a contender this year, because that is cheap for a 20 point per game score. Who's gonna go for that? I don't know, but it's also Danny Ainge, so whoever it is gonna get fleeced. Like, the Utah Jazz are going to win that trade.
Yeah.
But the team that gets Colin Sexton, it's a great pickup, and I have no qualms about it. Like I said, I considered putting him a little bit higher. It's just as I got more into the list, I couldn't really justify it for of reasons. One, it's Utah Jazz. Like, we say it a lot, like, someone had to score. Obviously they also have Markkanen, but it was still the Utah Jazz. But Sexton at 10. Who's next?
I got it. So, making a long awaited return is RJ Barrett.
Interesting. I have him higher.
Yeah, I don't.
So I have him higher.
But I kind of just needed him to be there. And I have him lower because of his availability. He only played 58 fair. Games. Not that much. Right? Barely made the cut.
No, that's fair.
He's 25th in the field. 6-3 is not that bad at all. I felt obligated to include him. I debated keeping him off and then realized I'd get made fun of for that.
Absolutely.
So,
don't worry, Austin. I got you. I'm going to be made fun of right now.
Let's go.
I decided just to go max chaos with this list.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, my number 10 guy, he averaged 10 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds on an 11 PER. That doesn't sound very impressive until you know who it is. It is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And the thing that he has over every shooting guard below on this list is he gets the honor of saying that he gets to contribute to Nikola Jokic for. Enjoy.
Are you serious right now?
I'm dead ass.
This is the way we're going with this. All right.
This is the way we're going with this. Totally.
Do you have anything else to add, or you done there?
He's a comrade. All Nikola and all his comrades are on my list. Spoiler alert, Jamal Murray is coming.
Jamal Murray's a point
guard. Exactly.
If he's on this small list, you've screwed up.
Not this one.
All right.
What's gonna happen. You know what's coming.
My number nine is Jalen Green. I'm fucking confused. 20 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists. Not great efficiency. Okay, so this is something I don't normally do. Ren does not normally do this, but this is 100% a case of what have you done for me lately, because we knew the potential Jalen Green had, right? So through the season, he shot 42% from the field, and I think it was 33% from three. The end of the season, he averaged 28.5 points since March. The only players ahead of him were Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jason Tatum. The only players ahead of Jalen Green at the end of the season, Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jason Tatum. He did it on 51% from the field, 63% true shooting percentage. Look, do I think he's going to maintain that pace? No. But Jalen Green got a lot of confidence going into the end of the season. I think that's going to be good for the future of the Houston Rockets. I think that he kind of solidified himself as that guy. And if he can maintain even an iota of that confidence going into next season, the Houston Rockets might be a little bit scarier. Not scary, but scarier. So Jalen Green, number nine.
Go on, Austin.
Massive cough right after. Austin's mic is currently muted, so he might be talking.
I'm back. Sorry.
Okay.
Number nine, I have CJ McCollum.
Is he listed?
He's much higher on my list. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not even on my list.
You're not even
on my short list.
He's a point guard. He's a point guard.
He wasn't.
He's a point guard.
Last time I checked, he wasn't.
Even on my short list.
Go ahead, Angelo.
Hold on. Did Austin fuck up twice? Hold on. No.
Yes,
hold on.
No, I did. It did. It's point guard. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh my god.
This is what happens when it takes 3 weeks for us to do something.
You had 3 weeks to solidify your list.
I deleted the list.
What?
Also, on my short list, I have Terry Rozier listed as Terry Rosie. That's fun. That's my new nickname for him.
Go ahead, Angela.
Rozier did not make my list. I'm saying he's on my short list.
Unfortunately, I agreed with Ryan. My number nine was Jalen Green.
Chaos.
That was not chaos. That indeed was not chaos. It's unfortunate. But yes, you are right about him having a dominant second half of the season.
Not even a second half. Like a last quarter.
Are you ready? Are you ready to call the Houston Rockets the number one seed next year?
No. Hey, did I fuck up? I might have fucked up. Hold on. Did I fuck up? This is important. Hold on. I did not. Didn't play enough games. Never mind. I thought I forgot Desmond Bane.
No. He didn't. We discussed this four weeks ago now about Desmond Bane's failing.
Yeah. You know what?
Because Desmond Bane is everyone. And everyone is Desmond Bane. Anyway, who's your number eight?
Number eight, Devin Vassell. Gosh, I scrolled too far. 19.5 points per game, 4 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game, just over a steal per game. 47% from the field, 37% from three. Honestly, at this point, I feel like Devin Vassell could be higher. Really. I think Devin Vassell could be higher because while he's playing for an absolutely terrible franchise right now, I think that when you're looking at those offensive numbers, it's important to remember how great of a defender Devin Vassell is. And that's kind of why he got the nod for me in the top 10. Just because he's so productive and impactful on both sides of the ball, which you can't really say about a lot of the guys on this list. Looking at it in my top 10, DeJounte and RJ Barrett really are it for me, in terms of like defenders, but Devin Vassell is definitely up there as well.
How many comrades do you have?
How many what?
Comrades.
You mean teammates of Nikola Jokic?
Yes.
I don't have a single teammate of Nikola Jokic on this list.
That's really unfortunate. That's really, really unfortunate.
That's all I got. Number 8, Devin Vassell. How many do you have on this one list?
Wait, maybe there's another coming.
Oh, God.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn. Okay. What point guard or small forward are you going to put here?
He probably went through on his next one and made sure he wasn't listed as a...
No, I knew. I know the rest of them are.
Okay.
Colin Sexton is my number 7. 8. 8. It's been a long week.
A long week.
I mean, you kind of hit it, Ren. 19, 3, and 5. Decently efficient. Well, actually really efficient. And
really efficient.
Yeah, really efficient.
I have a really legitimate question right now.
Right.
We both had long weeks. Ren is sick. This might be the least energy I think we've ever done in an episode to start.
No.
No, it's not that bad.
This is pretty up there.
The least energy from an episode that I can remember is one of the open gyms, or like any of the episodes, like the Game of Thrones episode, like any episode we've recorded back to back. Like,
I had more energy at the start. That tailed off. I've never seen a start an episode this like.
I mean, it's also shooting guards. Like, it's at this point, shooting guard is arguably the least important position on the floor. There's some great shooting guards, but like it's shooting guards. Like this is the calm before the storm that is point guards next week.
Well, point guards is going to melt.
Point guards is going to break at least one of us. Yeah, no,
it's show where your allegiances.
It's going to be bad. This is we've been gone for a couple weeks. It's been long weeks. I'm sick. We are saving ourselves for the chaos that will ensue next week.
No, who is up? Let's have energy.
I mean, I have energy. You're up. Let's go.
Number 8. I already said he was efficient. 19 points. Very efficient. Right? He's doing things great. Angela, your turn.
My number 8 is also Colin Sexton.
Hey, look at that. Reminiscing.
Very not very, very, this is very not as chaos as I thought it was going to be. This is
you're really the one bitching about energy, and then you're here, this is very, 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 very.
Listen, have you ever wrote and then you just like added a bunch of words, like instead of don't, you put do not just to add words at the end?
Yeah, you ever put a cake recipe into like a word count? Like, when someone's not going to read, like, a project you're submitting, and you just, like, they want a high word count, you just put a fucking cake recipe in the middle. It works.
I can't say I've done that.
Funny enough, so I, like, have been looking up recipes. There was a recipe that has only, like, 3 ingredients, and it turned out really, really good. I'm not going to lie. It's called ice cream bread.
That's great. Who is your number?
It is. Isn't it great?
Continue with your number 8.
Colin Sexton. It's the same thing as you, buddy.
Okay. He doesn't have anything to add to Colin Sexton.
Ren had Colin Sexton at like 9.
10.
Ten.
All right, Angela. Ren, go.
Jesus Christ. So I'm a number seven. Number seven, Cam Thomas. 22.5 points. Three even. Rebounds. 3 assists on 44 for 36 shooting splits. It's another one of those good stats on a bad team kind of guy.
So why'd you include him?
You know, I kind of forgot he was on the Brooklyn Nets until like
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. He's not on my list, and I completely forgot he was on the Brooklyn.
You know why though? You know why though? Right, here's gonna be my on the fly justification.
I made an oopsie.
You made an oopsie. That's number two for Austin this episode. So here's why. Do you know how much money Cam Thomas is making?
Probably less than your salary.
He averages 22.5 points per game on decent efficiency. That's actually decent efficiency. That's not Colin Sexton efficiency. That's decent.
Yeah.
$4 million a year.
You want to know another fun fact?
What's that?
Cam Thomas was born in Japan.
That actually is a fun fact. What's his nicknames? What are Cam Thomas' nicknames?
God. They're not on. We're doing this. He doesn't have any.
He doesn't have any on Basketball Reference. I've never seen this. I've never seen that.
What are we naming him? Oh, his middle name is Boucher. That's his nickname, is Boucher. From here on out.
Boucher.
Little undersized for a shooting guard, by the way.
Yeah, 6'4".
So you know what, I'm gonna justify it because I forgot he was on the Brooklyn Nets, so it's bad stats or good stats on a bad team. But regardless, you can prove you can score efficiently because this was not a shot chucking season for Cam Thomas. You're only making $4 million. That's a very tradable contract for a first round pick, and on a competitive team, those numbers are gonna drop. He's not gonna average 22.5 points on a competitive team. Average 16, but he's going to shoot pretty efficiently on a contender if he gets traded. And he also can shoot off the dribble, which a lot of these guys, like I'm looking through it, they're mostly catch and shoot guys in a lot of aspects, except the top five. Never mind. The short list is all catch and shoot guys. The top five, they can shoot off the dribble. Never mind. Cam Thomas, number seven. Psych myself up. What's your oopsie?
I looked at my list and
oopsie number three.
It's oopsie number two. I forgot I had Cam Thomas on my list.
Oh my! So you said you didn't have Cam Thomas on your list, and then you looked.
No, I said why did you put him on there? Then I looked and I was like, oh shit, he's on there.
The reverse oopsie.
I'm doing great.
We're all doing great.
Doing fantastic. Number seven, go for it.
Scotty Barnes.
Seven.
Scotty Barnes.
Seven. That's seven. More chaos than what I did.
Seven.
That's not chaos at all.
That is chaos.
That is not chaos.
Okay.
I refuse to believe that. You guys forgot someone then.
Absolutely not.
How was that chaos? He wasn't that efficient. Wasn't great, but he wasn't that efficient.
Wait a minute. Hold on, I might have forgot someone. I don't think I did. But
am I just gonna the title of this episode is I forgot someone. Like
that was our first one.
No, it wasn't.
Did I forget someone? I did not forget him. It was something like that. Unless you did something stupid like put Austin Reeves on your top 10.
I almost did.
I would have.
But you're also actually chaos.
Number 9 when this day started.
I hate you.
I actually think I know what happened.
What happened?
I think I know what happened. I think Austin made two oopsies this. Like, now, well, this will be three
you
oopsies.
You mean oopsie number three?
I think he made an oopsie.
There's he no already way. Did. You mean oopsie number three?
This is another oopsie, I think. Austin, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it honestly. I need you to answer this question honestly.
I'm here. What?
Is Devin Booker on your list?
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Oopsie number two.
Okay, I'm done with this list. You guys finish it.
I'm done.
We left. So listen.
This list is cursed. Your top three should be Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, and Kyrie Irving. I don't care the order. What the fuck do you want to talk about?
For the record, mine is Anthony Edwards, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving.
Mine's Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, Kyrie Irving. Austin, mine's what's your top three?
Ant Mitchell Kyrie.
Thank you.
I think my favorite thing is that Angelo came into this episode all the past 3 weeks, just nonstop. Oh, I'm choosing chaos for the shooting guard list. I'm choosing, and then he like doesn't. All he does is put fucking KCP on his top 10. That's his chaos. And then Austin does this.
This is going to take weeks off.
What the fuck was that?
I knew what happened the moment he said, "You guys forgot someone." I knew exactly who it was. To be fair, Devin Booker's always been a shooting guard, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Until this year, right?
Yeah. Until this year.
So, Austin, do you now understand why I put Sabonis on the power forward list?
Nope. That's a shame.
Oh, God.
We're just going to re-record this later.
No, we're not.
This is going up.
I've retired effective immediately.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see who he puts on the point guard list.
Yeah, me too.
I've never, given up on a list, but... This is no.
Okay, so the rest of my list is RJ Barrett at number 6.
Okay.
DeJounte Murray at number 5.
Uh-huh.
Scottie Barnes at 4. Kyrie at 3. Donovan Mitchell at 2. And Anthony Edwards at 1.
Mine is Derek White at 6. Dante DiVincenzo at 5. Scottie Barnes at 4.
Wait.
There you go. Yes, there was some hot takes coming, Ren. There was some very hot takes coming.
You're welcome.
Hold on.
Yes?
Hold on.
Yes?
Who the fuck does Basketball Reference have playing point guard for the Boston Celtics?
No one.
That's bullshit. That is... No.
See?
No.
Basketball Reference is broken.
Basketball Reference has Derek White as a shooting guard. I am right.
I know that. What I'm saying is, who the hell do they have playing point guard?
I don't know. Jrue Holiday? Jrue Holiday. And go down. Point guard. Yep. Jrue Holiday.
I think we should stop using Basketball Reference.
Hold on. Angelo just overrated Derek White, and so did 2K. Let's talk about that for a second.
Oh, okay.
Derek White is a role player.
You sure you want to get into 2K, buddy? It's been a long day.
Derek White is a role player.
We're here for it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Derek White is a role player.
Uh-huh.
And he plays that role well, according to things.
He plays that role very well.
He had a very good finals run.
But that... So did Caleb Martin. So did Gabe Vincent. Like, why are we like... why do we pretend a player is good because they have a good stretch for 2 weeks? 4 weeks, however, the playoffs are
because most people's eyes is on the product during that 4 weeks, and if when more people get to see something, they make assumptions based on the 4 weeks they saw.
So I guess my question is the following. So NBA, the NBA Reddit, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this thing where, like, they...
That's your first mistake. Tell us the goats.
Right, but this is a relevant conversation.
Okay.
So, like, they've been going through and eliminating a list, right, where it's, like, best shooter of all time, best shooter in the league, best handles in the league, best passing in the league, right? You following?
Yep.
They got down to it, and it was best role player, okay? And that went to Derek White.
Yep.
Now, do I necessarily disagree with that? No. But at the point that everyone is overrating Derek White, because I think Derek White is the best role player in the association right now. At what point when we're overrating him, when we're saying he's an 87 in 2K, is he no longer a role player?
Now that's a very good question. Should like people who come off the bench be capped at a certain overall? Like, should you be higher than an 85 if you come off the bench?
So I
think it depends.
There's kind of a whole conversation that's been going on. So like, Bronny James, what's Bronny James's rating in 2K?
68.
Do you know what LeBron James' rookie rating was in the first 2K that he was in?
62.
It was 69. But back in ye olde days, the low end of overalls was in the 40s, like a 60, like a high 60, a decent player.
Probably like an 80 back then, or today.
But like now, because like the players themselves are playing the games, because back in the day, like Reggie Miller was not playing 2K.
Yep.
Like, but like Anthony Edwards probably plays 2K. So yep. Like you had like
Edwards a direct... pretty good actually.
You have a direct like line to these players, and they're getting pissed if their overalls aren't super high. So like, I've been playing a my eras thing, and like after two seasons, every team has no one above 80 overall because like nothing, like the engine itself didn't change. It's just those star players that we have today have to be high rated, or they have tantrum hissy fits.
Yep.
So
here's the problem. The players are part of advertising the game, and you want access to the players. If a player you want access to advertise the game, talk about the game, whatever, put on your cover,
have the rights to use their likeness.
Right. But you want a relationship with that player, regardless of whether or not you have their rights. Is throwing a hissy fit over an overall, that's the thing. It's an access thing. It's more 2K wants access to them. They want access to the product. And I don't know. Have you watched at players interview about their whatever Madden range, 2K range? They're never happy about it. No matter what it is.
Yeah. He gave me a 98. Bullshit. I'm a 99.
KD, yeah. KD's been thinking he should be a 99 for 10 years now.
I mean, there was a point when KD should have probably been a 99.
Yeah. That's not the point, though.
But, like, I guess that's the problem is, like, if you make everyone a 90, like, nobody's a 90. And that's the thing about, like, exactly. The My Eras thing is, like, once all those players ride off into the sunset, you have like a bunch of players that are around 80 overall. And then you have like one or two players that are above 90, and they do feel transcendent because they're the only players up there. And then you have like your superstar players or low 90s, high 80s. And, like, they feel like superstar players because everyone else is so low. I think we've lost the plot with ratings and sports games.
I agree with that.
And I think part of it, like, I think the show does it really well because things don't necessarily cap at 99. Like, they can go above that. Because, like, to an extent, because, like, we were talking about in, like, one of our games we were playing recently where, like, Bobby Witt and Trea Turner have the exact same speed, but technically speaking, according to metrics, Bobby Witt is a faster runner, but in the game, they run the same speed.
Right.
So, should sports games eliminate caps?
I mean,
I don't think so.
Eliminate caps, they just need to reevaluate them. If 99 truly is the pinnacle,
I mean, but like,
we oversimplified. We oversimplified that argument for this reason and this reason only. So there are other things in MLB The Show that go into your speed rating, not just your 99 speed. In fact, you even listed one of them: reaction, how quickly you react to the ball. So if you have a higher reaction with the 99 speed, it makes you feel faster.
I'm specifically talking about speed on the, like, speed running, like, you're both of them hit a ball that's going to be a double. They run the same speed on that ball path or the base path. That's what I'm saying. Like, are we really saying, like, even if we reevaluate, are we really saying that there's only 99 variations of run speed in the MLB? Like, because, like, when you're getting into those decimal points, right? Like, if one player is 31.7 and one's 31.2, like, there's a whole range in between there, right? How, like, are we really gonna, like, quarter it into, we have to shoehorn all this into 1 through 99? I guess that's my question.
That's a good question, honestly. So how would you do it? You would make it 1 through 99, and then when you get to the top end speeds, the top whatever you want to do it, 5, 10, well, not 10, but like 5 players, you separate them by their sprint speed, and then the highest gets like a 105, and the lowest gets a 101?
So, I mean, I guess, like, I'm saying get rid of the... Okay, so basically establish a speed for each valuation and don't put a cap on that, but stay within the realm of reality. Like, we know tangibly what the fastest run speed a human can do is, and that would be what your cap is. So, like, in MLB, what, like... Is 99 the highest your power versus left can be?
No, it's 125.
Yeah. Right, because it's really hard to quantify all the different hitting powers into just 99. So, like, that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, oh, the cap for everything should be infinite. I'm saying that 1 through 99, that's not enough numbers to really differentiate players. Like, maybe that number is 125, maybe it's 150. I just feel like 99's too low, because, like, you get to those top-end players, and, like, Trea Turner and Bobby Witt are both definitely worthy of a 99, but they do have metrical differences on the bag-to-bag speed, regardless of whether they're stealing or just running. Like, one is slightly faster than the other, and that's not really conveyed through a 1 through 99 system. That's kind of what I'm saying. What are we talking about?
I don't know anymore.
I think we broke Austin. I think most definitely we broke Austin. What's the title of this episode?
Oops, Austin did it again.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Oops, Austin did it again. What else? Do we have anything else?
I think it's been proven that we do, in fact, have anything else.
Wasn't there more 2K news?
Probably. There was like my league stuff. Let me hold on. There was a lot of stuff on the NBA.
There's a Kobe era now.
There was what? There's a Curry era.
Steph era.
He did it again.
Oops, he did it again.
Drew Eubanks posterized Thanasis Antetokounmpo in the summer league. So on a hold on, talk for a second.
Okay.
So Austin.
Yes, buddy.
So if you had to build your evil lair in a volcano, what kind of volcano would you want?
What the fuck does that even mean? What does that mean?
Like you have an evil lair.
Do I want a tall volcano, a small volcano, a fat volcano?
Do you want a volcano closer to erupting?
Well, I mean, no. Preferably a dormant one.
Why not?
But one that I could... Well, like... One that won't erupt for like 100 years, but there's enough lava for me to harness its heat power for energy.
There you go. Now, see, now we're getting we're getting somewhere with this. There you go. Now you're getting it. What? Now you're getting it.
What?
What do you think? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, buddy. Don't worry about it. We got this. We got this.
Okay.
I'm so
okay. What did you got? What did you got? What did you got, buddy?
Yeah. I'm so confused.
We're waiting for you.
You can be so.
I don't know. I was trying to. The off season kind of has sucked. Like, there's been no drama. There's been no like trade. Like, we know that Adam Silver was trying to like implement like a reduction of the player movement era. And like, we kind of saw that this year. And like, while I love it as someone that hates player movement, as a basketball analyst, it was a little more boring than I wanted it to be. Jason Tatum had an interview where he was asked about the last few months, and he said, "It's been a crazy summer. Fortunate enough to win my second gold medal. That was a hell of an experience." Do you think that was meant to be snarky? Because we never really talked about USA basketball because everything was kind of all going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And we never actually finished talking about the Steve Kerr's not coaching USA basketball going forward. Spoelstra and Tyronn Lue are the names in the hat for the next coach of USA basketball. Like, so let's talk about that. Because, like, there's a lot of people that think that it was disrespectful that Jason Tatum wasn't playing. But, like, who was he playing ahead of? He's not playing ahead of LeBron. He's not playing ahead of KD. If Kawhi didn't leave, he's not playing ahead of Kawhi.
I don't know about that one.
I do.
No, just based on, like, the production of the team, like, the needs of the team.
Oh.
Like, the reason, like, Tyrese Halliburton and Jason Tatum and Anthony Edwards, and yeah, Anthony Edwards actually got, like, meaningful playing time, were there was to get experience, to learn from Steph, KD, LeBron, because they're not going to be there in 2028. This is the young guys' teams after this. Like, they didn't need the playing time here. This was a learning experience for them. Do you agree with the take that they were disrespected, or especially Jason Tatum?
Kinda. Jason Tatum did just come off a finals run.
Where he was the second best player, according to finals MVP.
That is true.
Yep.
That's true.
And the first best player wasn't even invited.
That's because true. Nike sponsors it or something.
Yeah.
Nike sponsors it or something.
Okay. Here's an interesting thought This is a shower thought I had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how everything, like fads, they come in, go out, right?
Yep, 100%.
Modern NBA bigs have spent their entire lives shooting, playing small ball, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is insanity to think that a player could come out that's just so physically dominant, like a Shaquille O'Neal, that's just so physically dominant in the post, they're shooting like 70%, that a team couldn't overcome it with just three-point shooting? Like, could we see a player that's so dominant in the post, they're basically unstoppable because nobody knows how to guard them?
Oh, the post, not like the...
No, absolutely not.
Why?
Because we have Giannis in the league, and yes, Giannis is one of the top players, but...
Giannis isn't a post player.
He's the closest thing we got to him.
The closest we've got is Nikola Jokic.
No, he can shoot a three. That's what I'm saying. Your dominant post players also have a three. You're saying just an interior...
I'm saying someone that's physically unstopped, like a Shaq. Not like you're... Not like a Nerlens Noel that's really good in the post. I'm saying someone that is physically unguardable in the post.
Oh,
without changes to the rules, and they're shooting like 75%.
No. If Nikola isn't it, then there's no one that can. Yeah. It doesn't exist, Ren.
I'm just saying, like, we've seen it in other sports. Trends kind of come and go. This is a great top 10 episode.
Yeah, it has been a really good top 10 episode.
We're still in that episode.
So I understand that, but... So... I'm going to use football for an example. Football started as a run heavy, and it's slowly transitioning more to pass heavy. So where is the... For your example, where is the... All big men are shooting three, then we went back to interior bigs, then they went back. Where is that example?
Kareem.
All the big men were shooting threes in the 60s?
I mean, Kareem was shooting the skyhook in the 60s.
These you guys are arguing two different points.
Yeah.
I mean, there were shooting bigs. I mean, no one was shooting back then because there wasn't really a three-point line. So, like, granted, if you go and, like, watch footage, like, there were people that occasionally pulled it. But, like, it's a long two. It's a long, long two. It's way more inefficient than even a long two is now. But, like, even going to, like, the 90s, like, Arvydas Sabonis, Rick Smits, like, there were shooting bigs.
There were shooting bigs, not all bigs. So, like, how many bigs can you name that can't shoot that are starting right now? I can think of two, which are Gobert and Giannis.
Mitchell Robinson.
How well does Claxton shoot?
Jared Allen.
So, I agree, but those guys also have, like, mid-range games, and they can... extend out in other ways.
Isn't that the post?
But I mean, I guess...
Shoots 15%. No, I'm actually curious, no.
That's the thing. What percentage of the league? Because I'm willing to bet it's under 50%.
Yeah. It's 100% more shooting than that.
Because that's kind of the thing. It used to be DeAndre and had a shot coming out of college. Anyway, it used to be basically the other way around, where you had a bunch of interior bigs and you had some stretch bigs. In fact, a lot of them came off the bench. It's basically flipped, where you have a bunch of shooting bigs now and you have some interior bigs. So how long then do you think it's going to take for us to get back into a vast majority of the league as interior bigs if it is like a bell curve trend where it's going up and then it goes back down and then it goes back up?
It would be a really long time, probably. I'm just saying, like, if a player...
Quite honestly, Wemby had a shot. If Wemby didn't know how to shoot, he had a shot. But he knows how to shoot. Like...
Right, he shoots pretty elite for his position.
He really doesn't.
I'm more talking about a player that just can't be stopped. Again, like, I'm not talking about just your average player, like, posting up. I'm saying if a player like Shaq came out,
he'd be useless. Borderline useless.
I don't know. Like, if you're talking about a guy that's shooting 75-80% from the field, yes, it's only twos, but that clip of efficiency would be pretty insurmountable.
Sometimes.
No, it would almost always be insurmountable. The only way, like, you would have to be shooting like 40% as a team from three to overcome that.
Yes.
As a team.
Yes.
That's not sometimes, Angelo.
Hold up.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's likely. I think that if a player were to come out, because like these bigs have not grown up guarding that or learning to guard that. Like they haven't had to.
So
the closest thing would be Zion.
2023, 3-point percentage. The Oklahoma City Thunder shot 38.5% from three as a team. That's the number one team. You're talking about an uptick of 1.5%. For what you just said to make that big shooting 75% not matter. 1.5% increase. And granted, that could be a huge increase.
Yeah,
but
you're just like, oh, it's just a 1.5% increase. It's a pretty massive jump.
Does it give me shots? Like how many shots they...
Speaking of that, Zion has lost a ton of weight. Do you think that's going to help or hinder him?
Or it depends if he can still play the same way that he did at his current weight, quite honestly.
Because he looks a lot smaller, and he's planning on being even smaller before the season starts, which we are... damn close to. I think tip off is just over a month away. What day does it start? Season starts October 22nd, so 2 months away. Never mind. Felt like it was a lot sooner.
No.
Oh, preseason's. Preseason's a month away.
There you go. We get to talk about Bronny James some more.
I will never waste my time. You guys got anything else?
Why is it a waste of time?
Because it's Bronny.
You don't think he's going to make the team?
I think he'll make the team for game one. He'll share the four with LeBron, and then he's going to get sent to the G League to develop, and he will never set foot on an NBA court again.
Pretty harsh take.
It's a very harsh take.
Bronny is a project at best. He is literally only in the league because of who his dad is.
It's another hot take.
No. No, it's not. It is like your water heater's broken take. That shit is ice cold. LeBron James Jr. is not LeBron James. He's not close to LeBron James. He's not in the same stratosphere.
Not the stratosphere.
You know, like, honest to God... joking aside, I am being 100% dead ass when I say this. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is better than Bronny James.
That's weird.
Tell me I'm wrong. The only argument you can make is we haven't seen Bronny play. Yeah, I know. But Bronny is also 6'1". Bronny is 6'1". He does not have the physical tools. He doesn't have great court vision. He's an alright shooter. That's all he's got, though. He doesn't have, like for an undersized player, he doesn't have, like, the handle that Terry Rozier has to make it work. He doesn't have the passing vision, acumen, or skill set like Chris Paul to make it work. Like, we're not in a point where you can be a 6'1 point guard and be effective over an 82-game season. Just because that's so undersized for the modern NBA. Like, 6'3 is a small guard now. So, no. Bronny James should not be in the league. What are you looking up, Angela? Good.
I'm not looking up anything.
Oh, I thought you were. That's why I was rambling. Do you guys have anything else? Because my voice is about to crack.
Nope. You know what? Well, I'll stop torturing you. I'll let you get over here.
Austin, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Hey, guys, if you like what we do here, which if you're at this point in the episode, you must, or you fell asleep. Either way, do whatever your platform lets you do. Leave us a like, comment, subscribe, follow, turn on the notifications. Whatever it lets you do, do that. Leave us a review, but an honest one. Follow us on socials at No Reserves on all platforms. We will be back next Sunday to finish the top tens.
Say that in quotation marks.
Austin's probably going to put Drew Eubanks as a point guard. It'll be fun. Thursday, will you and you and Alex be back on Thursday? This coming Thursday.
Alex should be back from Spain.
But what I'm asking is, will you and Alex have an episode the Thursday after this episode releases?
Yes.
Okay, so Alex and Angela will be back on Thursday for the football podcast. We will not have a Tuesday episode this week. We still need to do a follow-up episode to D23, Austin. We will do that at some point.
Okay.
Besides that, have a great week. We will see you guys next time.
Ren should totally do it now.
Anyway.
No. And the